Thank you, Karen and YU, for inviting me to come. It's very exciting. Thank you, Yishakayach, to everyone who comes out on a Sunday morning to learn. That is Mesiras Nefesh. It's a privilege to be here, and I'm grateful to have a chance to speak, because I always say whenever I have a chance to speak, I have an opportunity to learn and to grow, and it's very exciting. And I want to thank my colleague, Chavrusa Yalmayevsky, Dr. Yalmayevsky, for letting me bounce these ideas off of her. Of course, Bichlod Rabbi Simon, he had an amazing segue, right? We just finished Purim, we're in a very exciting time between Purim and Pesach. Don't let this time period, the pressure of it, get in your way. That is exactly what we're going to be talking about today. The topic of the Shiur is looking to our leaders, bringing an ACT perspective to enhance our holiday experience. We don't even know what that means, right? But what happened? We just finished Purim, very intense and exciting day, and now we're moving on to Pesach. We're starting to prepare, a month of preparation. Everyone's looking. I could already tell. Don't worry. Your faces tell it all, though. This is good. This is where we're going. And what is Pesach? We are commemorating Hashem taking us out of Egypt, the redemption, our connection with Hashem, the role that He has in our lives. It's an exciting time. And yet, when someone says to a Jewish woman, Purim is over, the next thing you think about is Pesach is coming. And the Jewish psychologist in me says, and what does that mean? How do you feel about that? Anxious, stressed. Maybe some people here are thinking, it's so exciting, it's going to be great, right? But what are we really imagining? You imagine, okay, when were my grandkids in my room? Where was there, like, there's probably a place in the house that I don't even realize I need to be checking. Or what about if you're a parent and you tell your child to clean out the drawer and they come downstairs so proud, they did everything, and as they come down, they're like, I cleaned out my drawer, and they have, like, a chewy bar in their hand as they were doing it. You know, where you tell your spouse, go and pick up, like, baking soda, and they come back with baking powder, and you're like, but I said I was going to make this today, and now I'm not going to have time because I have work. Right? And the question we have to ask ourselves is, what's going, you know, where are we going wrong? Where are we stuck? Because this is not about what Pesach's about. We just said we're commemorating being taken out of Egypt, becoming a nation. And all of a sudden, we say the word and we get into like a tizzy. It's like a different mindset. And so we want to spend maybe a little bit of time today reflecting and thinking about what gets in the way of being able to live our life and preparing for Pesach and having the Pesach experience according to our actual values. And the reality is, what gets in the way? And no one's thinking, you know what, actually, I really want to be stressed out. I don't want to live according to our values. No, I don't think anyone here is saying that. The fact that you're here on a Sunday morning is pretty much showing how you guys are committed to living according to values and making time for learning. So we have to reflect and ask ourselves, what gets in the way of living according to our values? And I think it's just the natural tendency of life. If you don't do something proactively to change the kind of tide, we're just going to get caught up in the chaos of the moment. Because life is busy. And so we need to find a way to be able to stop that, to do something maybe a little bit differently. I want to take, given that it's like right before Pesach, not right before, I don't want to increase anxiety too much. We still have time. But we are moving into the Pesach period, and I want to look at the beginning of the Geula. I want to look to our leaders, I want to look to Moshe and Miriam, and see that they are two people who can give us insight into how to figure out what gets in the way of living according to our values, how can we take steps in our life to have a meaningful experience, to get into the Pesach mode and not lose sight of what we care about and do it in a meaningful way and maybe even the day-to-day life experiences. Okay, that's my introduction. If we open up to the first source, we're going to get into Moshe. I realize that my sources that I sent are a little bit different. So if we look at source one, we have Moshe. We're first introduced to him. He's living in the lap of luxury. He's living in the kingdom with Paro and Bas Paro with Basya. And the first time we get to see him as an adult, we see in Pasuk Yud, right? He gets older. Pasuk Yud Aleph, he goes out. Vayidal Moshe vayetze elachav vayar basiv losam. Right? This is famous. This is what Moshe is famous for. The first time, the first act as an adult, he leaves his home. He goes out, he purposely, intentionally goes out to see what's going on. Vayar, he reflects, he notices the pain. What does Rashi say? Vayar b'sivlosam, source number two, Natan eina v'libo lios meitzar aleihan. He intentionally opens his eyes to see the pain of his brothers and sisters, who the Jews who are being oppressed. He is proactively doing it. And the next day, if you go back to the psukim, so first he has Vayar b'sivlosam, and he sees Vayar again. He notices that one, the Mitzri, is hitting a Jew, and he steps in. And then you see the next day, he goes back, he sees another situation, Vayar. He sees that there's two Jews fighting, and he steps, he gets involved. And, of course, he realizes that, okay, something, you know, he did something, and he might get in trouble. So he leaves, and the next time you see the next Pasuk Tet Zayin and Yud Zayin is the story of Tzipora, where he meets his wife. And again, Moshe, the proactive person who can't stand by and see anyone going through a difficult time. And you see in the Pasuk, Vayaka Moshe, the underlined words, Vayoshian Vayash Etzona. Right? They were giving Tzipora trouble, and he steps in and he gets involved. And then we have any questions? Anyone? Yeah, please. Sure. Yes. She doesn't know. Okay, very good question. What does ACT stand for? We're going to get there. One of my friends who's a psychologist is like, maybe don't put it in. It's too psychology. And I'm like, I don't even think people, it's so new, except that it's not new because all of psychology really is in Torah. Right? It's so new that no one's going to really know what it means. So ACT is acceptance and commitment therapy. And really what we're going to do is we're going to look at Moshe and his story and Miriam and her story. And we're going to see a model within the field of psychology that I think really helps us get into the mode of being able to connect to our values and be flexible and do what we need. But first, we're going to get there. That's going to be like midway through this year, okay? So, no, okay, fine. I hear that, and I appreciate it. Questions are welcome. Okay, so we're still in Moshe's story. Moshe establishes himself as someone who is proactive, who has a clarity of values. He cares about the Jewish people. He goes out. Now you have source number three. 40 years passes. Moshe is a Roat Tzon, and all of a sudden, one of the stories that literally will change the trajectory of Moshe's life, the course of history, is Moshe and the Sneh. And in Pasuk Bet, you see Vayar v'hineh ha-sneh bo'er ba'esh, right? He sees the bush is being burnt, and then it's not being consumed, and what's going on, and Hashem reveals himself here. And Hashem reveals himself to Moshe. And he says, listen, I also see, if we go through the psukim, we don't have time because to go through all of the psukim, but if you go through the psukim, Hashem says, listen, I see the pain of the Jewish people also. The time has come. Pasuk Yud, it's not underlined, but this is a big pasuk. Ve'ata lecha ve'eshlach lecha el paro v'hotzei es ami v'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. And Hashem says to Moshe, okay, the time has come, man. You are the man. You are going to go and take the people out of Egypt. Now, the question for you is, with everything we know about Moshe, what do you expect his answer to be? Yes! Not a question! This is his life. This is what he does. This is the expert in the Jewish people. This is his purpose. Right? This is him. If anyone was going to say yes to this tremendous responsibility, it's going to be Moshe. And what does he say? Right? Shocking. Next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Moshe el Elokim. Mi anochi ki elecha paro v'chi yotzia b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Who am I to be able to do this? I can't do this. Sorry, right? And now you see, we're going to see this a few times. You have to look at the greatness of Hashem's responses throughout. I think it gives so much clarity in how to deal with people, okay? And if you look at the next pasuk, what does Hashem say? Vayomer ki eyeh imach. Don't worry, I'm God. Listen, I'm God, okay? This is not like a recruiter coming and saying, I have a big job for you. This is like, I am God. I am here, I'm with you, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. And he doesn't even end there, because he goes in. And this is a great psychological technique, nothing to do with ACT, just in general. Someone who has a little bit of anxiety, a little bit reluctant, you do emotional rehearsals, you give them the plan. Listen, This is what's going to happen. You know, you're going to go to the Jewish people. You're going to tell them that Hashem, your God, has come. You're going to go to Paro. He's going to say no. Like, this is what's going to happen. It's not going to work out right away. Don't worry. It's called emotional rehearsal. And sometimes it helps people deal with the moment. And so Hashem does that. And what do you think Moshe is going to say? Now he says all of this. You go to source number 4. And what does Moshe say? Vayan Moshe vayomer vehein lo yaminu li velo yishmeu bekoli. And he says, they're not going to believe me. And they're not going to listen to me. Okay, fine. Hashem sees. Moshe is a little bit reluctant. He has a lot of anxiety. And so play by play, Hashem does this. Okay. A little bit of a pep talk wasn't good. Emotional rehearsal wasn't working. I'm going to go concrete. And Hashem says, Vayomer, right? You see that mateh that you have? Pasuk Gimel, and we're going to read the rest of the psukim. Throw it on the ground. Vayilin achash, vayinas mipnei Moshe. And he gives him the first sign. And then he even goes, even in Pasuk Chet, which is awesome. Because sometimes what we need to do when we deal with people who are really a little bit reluctant, and even with ourselves, is, okay, listen, it's not going to work. Even preemptive. Don't wait for them to like say, like, no, I'm not doing this. Hashem already preempts Moshe's reluctance. V'haya im lo yaminu lach, in Pasuk Chet, right? And if they don't believe you, I'll give you a backup. One sign doesn't work, I'll give you another sign, right? And he gives him another sign. And then he even says, in Pasuk Tet, V'haya im lo yaminu gam lishnei autot, and even if he doesn't listen to both those miracles, concrete, tangible miracles, simanim, symbols, if he doesn't, I'll give you makastam, okay? And then what do you think? What do you think they're going to say? What do you think Moshe is going to say? What would you say? Hashem says to you, okay, listen, I'll be with you. And then he gives you the whole thing, and this is what it's going to be. And then he says, okay, fine, that's not working. Listen, I'm going to give you miracles. Real miracles, concrete miracles. You feel better with that? You say, okay, fine, we can do this, right? But that's not what Moshe says. Like, Yomer Moshe El Hashem Bi Adoni. Literally like pleading. Right? And he's like really pleading. You know what it reminds me of? Sometimes I deal with kids with school refusal, and there's really something at school, and they're like, please don't make me go to school. Like, I'll do anything. I'll be the best kid. Don't make me go to school. Right? And you're like, nope, you gotta go. Like, this is it. Like, I know you're nervous. You know, you just have to go. Right? It's almost like Moshe is like pleading, like, please don't make me do this. Why? Because I can't speak. I'm a wrestler. Like, I have something wrong with my speech, and it's just not going to happen. Right? At this point, Moshe, the man who cares about alleviating the distress and the pain of the Jewish people, is saying, I can't do it because of something I believe about myself, my personal handicap. I cannot do it. Please don't make me do it. And he can't get outside the story he tells himself. Right? I have this personal handicap. And because of that, I just can't do it. And Hashem says, listen, Pasuk Aleph, who do you think gives people who do you think gives people a hard time speaking? Listen, I'm God. Like, I got this. We got this. And what does Moshe respond again? Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer, Bi Adoni Shlach Na Biyad Tishlach. Notice Hashem's multi-level response and how difficult it is. I think we could all even think about even ourselves or when we deal with certain people, how hard it is to rationalize, even to provide reassurance and encouragement to somebody when they are just really struggling with something they believe, like a strongly held belief about themselves or in a very emotionally intense situation. No matter what you say, it's like, no, I can't do it. No, we can't do this. Right? And it's so hard. Now you have appreciation for my job. No, I'm just kidding. But at least my job, someone's coming into the room and saying, I want help. Most of the time we're dealing with people outside and, you know, they don't even realize. And I think that really helps us understand where Moshe's mindset is. And now Hashem, who's been patient the whole time, Pasuk Yudalet, Vayichar Ach Hashem. Hashem gets angry. And so, that happens. Right? This is the fourth time that Moshe already said, like, I'm not doing this. And Hashem is pulling out every single possible, you know, this is how method of how I'm going to help you. And at no point, by the way, does Hashem say, you know, that's so silly. Why you don't want to do this? Like, just do it. Suck it up. You know what I mean? Hashem doesn't say that. He really takes Moshe's concerns seriously. And at the same time, He gets angry. However, I think this is a beautiful idea. ויחרף השם במשה ויאמר הלא אהרן אחיך הלוי ידעתי כי דבר דברו, right? And he gives him a little bit of external support. We call this in the field of psychology scaffolding. Sometimes we just need a little bit of like extra support to help us do what we need to. You ever have it? I don't like to sit down and do the bills at all. So I have to sit down next to someone to do it. A little bit of extra support. I need to set reminders. I have to work on something. I want to work on a diet. I have my friend call me. We're going to work on it together. And sometimes you just need a little bit of extra support. And Hashem, even though he was annoyed, he gave that to Moshe, and that really helped Moshe. Knowing Aaron was going to be with him helped Moshe. But this is not the end of the story. And at the end of the Psukim in Lamed Aleph, when Moshe and Aaron go together to the Jewish people, v'ya'amein ha'am v'yishme'u, ki pakar Hashem b'nei Yisrael. Right? They believe Aaron and Moshe with what they say. I didn't put all of Perek Hey in here, but Pasuk, in source number 5, we see that, I skipped part of it, but the beginning, just to summarize, is Moshe and Aaron go to Paro. Paro makes things worse for the Jews. The Jews go back to Moshe and Aaron and say, what are you doing to us? And then Moshe goes back to Hashem. Pasuk Chafet. Vayishav Moshe al Hashem v'yomer. Adonai lama harayot eliyam hazeh. Lama zeh shlachtani. Of course we can understand why Moshe says, Hashem, why are you making it worse for the Jews? But we don't understand, why does Moshe continue it and why use me? Again, the fifth time, Moshe's like, I can't do this. It's really hard for him. And even though he really, this is his value, he really wants to be the person who will take the Jews out. And then Hashem gives him like a pep talk of like, this is what you should say to the Jews. And again, we in the next source, in source number 6, in Perek Vav, we skip a little bit of the beginning. And what happens? Moshe goes, Vedaber Moshe, Kein al b'nei Yisrael, v'lo shemu al Moshe mikotza ruach u'miyavoda kasha. And this, at least we understand, right? This happens to all of us. Moshe goes with Aaron, he speaks to the Jews, and they really have a hard time listening now because things are just very hard for them, which we understand. And this we get, right? When we have negative experiences in our life, sometimes it makes things harder for us to deal with, to confront this situation the next time. It didn't go well the first time, so I'm nervous that it's not going to go well this time. And we do see that Moshe's kind of reluctance and anxiety increases twofold, because if you look at Pasuk, you'd bet. Then, Vayidaber Moshe lifnei Hashem limor, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shemu elai, ve'ech yishme'ini paro, v'ani arel sasayim. Not only is it just Paro that won't listen, or just the Jews, but now it increases twofold. Both of them are not going to listen to me, and I'm going to rail side, right? I have this problem. I can't get past it. Let go of me. Let somebody else do this. And now Hashem answers. Hashem doesn't even go into it. He just says, Moshe v'Aaron, like both of you guys. You guys, this is what Moshe, what you need. Don't worry. Both of you guys are going to come together. And then we skip a little bit because there's a little bit of a break. It talks about the Rashi Avos, and it ends the Perek, the beautiful way it says, and who's the family of Levi? That's Aaron and Moshe. V'heim medabrim. Together they were the ones who spoke to the Jews and Paro to get this process moving. Okay. And then even at the end of this, v'yidaber, the last two psukim in source 6, chavtet and lamed, v'yidaber Hashem Moshe lemor, ani Hashem deber al Paro, melch mitraim ekol asher, ani dover elecha. Go to Paro, tell him everything I told you. Vayomer Moshe lifnei Hashem, hinani arel sfatayim, v'yech ishma elai Paro. Still going with it. I think everyone's gotten the idea. 7 times Moshe is reluctant. And yet he's still doing it, but with a lot of extra support. And now, I want to bring us that, and you see again in source number 7, again Hashem's response to Moshe, his last pushback. He says, "Listen, Moshe, you and Aaron, you're going to go together. You're going to speak. You'll do it together. That's the story." And a lot passes, a lot of time passes before we get to source number 8. Okay, that was Perek Zion, and the next source is Perek Lamed Bet. Okay? And what happens in the interim? So first you have Aaron and Moshe. They go to Paro together all the time. And slowly, slowly, slowly you see Moshe He's the one who's interacting with the Jewish people, with Pharaoh, without Aaron. Moshe starts to take over as the leader of the Jewish people. And then you have that the Jews are taking out, and you have the Az Yashir, and then you have Bnei Israel complaining, and Moshe advocates for them. And we see this ultimate transformation in source number 8. What is source number 8? The famous story. This is Moshe post Chayta Egel. Because this is this transformation. This is where we see it crystallized. Obviously, there was a process occurring before this. Because Moshe, he says, Hashem says, that's it. The Jews, they sinned. We got to wipe them out. And what does Moshe say? What does Moshe say? No way. You can't do that for my people because I am their leader. And my job is to step up for them and take care of them. Even though it was so hard for me to get into it, now this is him living the way in which Hashem intended for him to begin with. The ultimate transformation where we truly see Moshe has accepted the role and owned it. Even to the point where he'd say, erase me from the story, from the whole Torah, according to Rashi. No way that I would allow these Jewish people to be wiped out. And so I want to take a step back, and we're going to get to this act perspective that we were talking about. Why Moshe's story? How's Moshe's story going to help us prepare for Pesach in a different mindset? Because first you look at Moshe. He has a clarity of perspective, vayar. He has this proactiveness. He goes out, he has clarity of values, and yet he gets stuck in his self story, in the thoughts and feelings that he had. He gets stuck in that. And so we have to see. And then eventually he's able, right? He doubts himself as a leader, but eventually he does own it. And so we ask ourselves, what gets in the way of being a leader? I mean, of acting according to our values, of enjoying positive moments in our life, to making meaningful moments even when they're difficult, is that we get stuck in these thoughts, in our self stories that we tell ourselves, our thoughts and our feelings, our expectations for the moment, and also just get caught up in the actual moment as it is. And so, hold on one sec. Okay. So it's like a little bit of background. So I am really fortunate to be the director, the founding director of an intensive outpatient program, Mirza Shem, in the next... Oh, yeah. Very good. What's Sifracha? He's talking about really everything, the story of everything that's happened until now. It's in his Sifracha as if, like, Hashem, you're safer, and even though we know that Moshe was the one who wrote it, right? But I think he's saying... This whole story that's transpired, the whole Jewish people, everything that's happened until now, take me out of the story like I haven't even been part of it. Asher Kasafta is really talking about what will be. Meaning, it's written, like, it's a question of who wrote it, is Hashem versus Moshe, right? And is it going to be written? Has it been written until now, right? But I think Asher Kasafta is the notion that until now it's being written, right? And that this is the story until now. I'm saying, get me out of everything that's happened until now, right? But it's a good question, and that could be a shir within itself, as many of these sources can be. And so the reason why I thought of this is, as the director of intensive outpatient, I'm blessed to work with women who are really struggling tremendously in life, and they have so many stressors and so many difficulties that have transpired in their life, and subsequently they have a lot of emotional difficulties dealing with the reality of these very, very, very difficult lives. The model that we use, and that's really our core model, has been, we call it, it's like a DBT model, which is not this, dialectical behavior therapy. Big fan. If you ever want to look into it, I give you resources. Amazing. And that model is a very skills-based, how do I learn skills to deal with my challenges and work towards a life that's worth living? And even that, as great as it was, I felt like what we were missing is that sometimes you're not even motivated to use the skills. So what can motivate someone to really want to, like, work really hard? Because these women work really hard day in and day out. Every day that's being lived for them is really difficult. Most moments are very difficult. And so how do you get someone to want to work really hard even in those moments? And I think a values-based model, which is what acceptance and commitment therapy is about, which is what we're going to look at really briefly, a values-based model helps us connect to what we really care about, and sometimes that will motivate us. If we can keep the larger picture, the long-term perspective of where we want to go in life, that can help us in the day-to-day moments live the way that I want to and push myself. However, we know, even a values-based model, even Moshe, who had clarity of his values, would get stuck. And so what I love about this model is it helps us, it's not only like just have values and, you know, follow your values, because it's not that simple. So there's a model, an acceptance and commitment therapy, and it's all about building psychological flexibility, and you have to ask yourself, what does that mean? And it seems more complicated, but let's before just like look at it in a basic way. Why is flexibility so important? So what? I'm a little bit flexible. I mean, we can know the flip side. When people are very rigid in their viewpoints, it's very difficult to be around them or be that person when we are rigid in our viewpoints. The ability to be flexible and able to step away from being caught up in the thoughts and the feelings that we have in a moment, or the expectations we have for somebody else, for ourselves, right? The ability to just like notice that and not get very rigid and caught up in it, and we're going to talk about how you do that, not back down, that will make us more effective as people and more effective in actually living according to our goals and values. You're like, that's nice, so how? So how do we do this? What is it broken up? So there's really three elements that kind of contribute to the ability to be psychologically flexible, okay? And I'm not going to get so caught up into the nitty-gritty of, oh, this psych concept, or, you know, so that it's not confusing. I want it to be, like, really concrete. There's three elements. One element that we spoke about already is this opening up. We looked at Moshe. Moshe kind of gets stuck in a story. We all have stories that we tell ourselves. We all have beliefs that we have about ourselves, what we can and cannot do, what our life is like, the roles we're supposed to have. You know, this is who I am, this is what I do. Right? Am I wrong? Is this just me? I think that's, you know, that's really true. Or just in the moment, I get, like, nervous. And usually, when I get nervous, I am nervous. It's not like, oh, I could just have a feeling of being nervous. I get caught up in that feeling. Right? A feeling is just a feeling, a thought is just a thought, an expectation is just an expectation. I can choose whether I want to do something about it and get caught up in it or not. But if I'm having the emotion of feeling down, but I have a lot to do and I really want to, you know, take care of certain things or help someone else out, even though I'm having a hard time, right? How do I not get stuck in those feelings? How do I not let it bog me down? How do I keep the awareness of what my values are and be able, which is the second part, right? Am I clear about my values? So that's the first part, open up, right? This is the openness, an awareness of ourselves, right? That we are able to notice and detach from our thoughts and feelings. We can notice it. You can notice right now. You might be thinking, I don't know what this lady's talking about right now, right? Just a thought. You could say either, you know, I should ask a question, or you might be thinking, what do I have to do after this? When's this over? I have a lot to take care of. Again, right, our thoughts, they come. We could just notice them and decide, like, am I getting caught up in them? Or do I want to detach from them and decide what I want to do, right? But the first aspect is this awareness. And the second aspect is clarity of our values and our goals, which is a little bit of what we're going to do today. And I think we're really amazing at doing that as Jews. Because whenever we daven, and almost every Shabbos, we slow down and we reflect on what our values are, what are our priorities, if we are intentionally choosing to use that time in that way. Again, Shabbos could easily be, oh my God, I have to prepare, and what do I have, and who am I having over, and what am I going to do, and what am I doing for Shabbos, right? We could get caught up in that. And then the third part, right, so we want to be open, we want to be aware, what is the stories we tell ourselves, what's getting in the way, am I able to live according to the values that I want, And then being present is kind of like the actualizing this. Being present in the moment, right? Because when the day-to-day life is when I'm actually going to live according to my values. And if I'm spending time with my grandchild or my friend or my spouse and my mind is somewhere else, but I care about the connections that I have, then I'm not, in my mind, like I'm somebody, I'm somewhere else, I'm not using, that's the building blocks of our life, or the day-to-day, the process of getting there. And that's the ability to be present. I'm going to illustrate this more, because I know it sounds a little bit vague. Anyone have any questions? You might be looking at me. Okay. And how does this all lead into the flexibility? I think all of the flexibility part is that you don't, all of this comes together. It's not enough to just say, you know, I have my values. You have to be flexible in your values and a balance between when I want to be present in the moment, when I want to keep mind to my long-term perspective, how do I balance both, and the ability to open up, to be aware, and to be able to shift between what I want. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to give it. So actually, I'm going to give examples of Miriam and go back to Moshe and read a little bit of him, give an example of Miriam, and then try and illustrate these points more. We have a little bit of time left, right? Okay, what time does this end? Okay, we are going to do this, right? Do they say it's a fast maruba? Hopefully not. Okay, so first, just quickly, to go back to Moshe's story. This openness, okay, don't even think about it. Like, let's just understand. Moshe had his perspective, his clarity of values. He's confronted with a difficult task. And for him, it was about overcoming his personal challenges, his self-image, how he saw himself. In encounters with Hashem, despite his values, we saw he was reluctant and he had fear. But eventually, he was able to put aside his fear for a value hierarchy. What does that look like? Imagine either if you had parents, or you are a parent, or you know someone who's a parent, or yourself as a person. Whenever we have something in life that is pushing us to do something past our comfort zone, if we have to do something, let's say for an example, for a child, and we know we have to do something that pushes us past our comfort zone, that we really don't want to do, right? Maybe I'm someone who's not as comfortable socially, but my kid always wants play dates, and I hate making phone calls to random strangers, and I just have to push myself to do that because that's what they want. Or, you know, my child is very demanding, and, you know, even my older child, right? And they you know, need a lot, and they need me to help them figure out what job they need to do in life, and every time I sit with them, I get frustrated, whatever, right? But it pushes me to have more patience, right? They can push us past ourselves. And what Moshe teaches us is that he was able to become aware of the story that he told himself and attach to the values that he had, and push past his comfort zone. We saw how uncomfortable he was. But because he really wanted to do this, and through committed action, in the present moment, one after the next, every single subsequent experience with the Jewish people gave him the strength to do the things. The more we do it, the more we act according to our values, the more reinforcement we have that we could break these stories. It's a question of not what do people say we are, or who we're like, or who we should be, but who do I want to be? Asking ourselves that and then saying, like, okay, I could live according to that way. And Moshe showed himself, he learned he was capable on his own what his internal strength was. He could push past his comfort zone and act according to his values to be the leader. So that's just understanding what the first component is of opening up. But again, you saw how Moshe was really detached. He really got stuck in his story. I want to look at Miriam. She's a great example of someone who internalizes this flexibility. So if you're going to look at, I'm going to go in the sources, but not so much in the sources. Miriam is phenomenal. Big fan of Miriam, obviously, as if she needs that for me to say that. Okay, we're going to frame this story in a context of seeing psychological flexibility, what it looks like. In source number 10, we know the famous story. What's going on now? The Jews are being oppressed. The Jews are demoralized. Years and years, decades of slavery. You know how hard it is to break out of the mindset to have hope, even when you're kind of like stuck in the slavery, in that mindset? And what do you see? You see the story of Miriam, according to Rashi. Right? So you see in the pasuk, Vayelach ish mi beit Levi v'yekach bat Levi, and that's a famous story of Yocheved and Amram, that they separated because Hashem, because Paro said you were going to kill the boys and you're going to throw them in the water, and then they said, how can we be together? And so they separated, and young Miriam, right? We love reading, one of my kids is a Miriam, and we love reading the story, how Miriam says to her parents, she didn't get caught up in the crisis of the moment. She had a sense of perspective. Right? What are our values as Jewish people? You can't just kill, by not being together, we're also killing the females. We're losing our hope, our faith. We're losing sight of what really matters. Miriam has this ability to take perspective, to be in the moment, to not get caught up in the Jewish story of oppression, and to be able to be, to see the larger picture. And then, another example you see in the next few psukim. What happens? Now, you wonder if Miriam's feeling a little bit guilty. Because what happens? Moshe is born because of her. And then her parents have to put Moshe in the water. And she might be feeling ashamed, in a sense of guilt. Look what I did, I brought him into this world, and now we gotta throw him away? And you would think that what she would either feel so ashamed, or she would just can't bear to watch her brother. But it says, Batita, save. She didn't say, a lot of times, right, you ever had this where you're like, I can't look, like you don't want to look, you don't want to notice the things that are making us nervous. Like, what's going to happen to Moshe? I can't even bear to look. But she didn't let that, she didn't let her emotions get in the way. She said, this is what needs to be done. What is going to happen to him? And then she springs into action and goes to Bat Paro, and she says, you need a meneket and here and that you'll have it to be part of it. Amazing. And the one we don't have it in the sources, but the story of Miriam with Az Yashir, everyone knows, I think it shows her incredible optimism. Moshe goes and he sings. Miriam comes out with musical instruments. That is amazing. That she had the faith. You know, you're running out of Egypt. You're not thinking like, oh, you know what I should really bring? Musical instruments, right? Does everyone do that where they're like running out of the house? God forbid there's a fire. And you're like, you know, what am I going to bring? My musical instruments, you know, in case we could celebrate getting out of slavery. Miriam's amazing. Her ability to maintain faith and values and perspective is exceptional. That is what she is known for. And she is so in the moment. Because the ability to dance, she's not thinking, oh my God, what's going to be after we cross over? We're going to be in the desert. How are we getting to the next place? She's not bogged down by those thoughts. We all have that, right? We could be sitting here, we could have a nice shiur, and then after we're like, oh my God, but you know what? I know she spoke about this, but really I have a lot to do, right? And then just like launch right back into like everything that you need to do. How do we keep that ability to notice, yes, we're going to have those thoughts, but at least in the moment, when we realize that our thoughts are bringing us somewhere else, try and be in this moment. Because especially when you can't be doing anything, I mean, you're not going to be shopping right now for the next 15 minutes, right? So you may as well just try and be focused and being present here. That's what it means to be present. That, yes, your mind takes you somewhere else, but it's not going to be even valuable. So we may as well be immersed in the moments where we are right now. And I want to see that the last source with Miriam is the source where she says Lashon Hara about her brother, and that's source number 12. And really, I just want to highlight that Miriam's a gadol, so is Aaron. It's like, what's going on? And I think this is so true, and this also shows us and reinforces for us how important flexibility is. Miriam is someone who has strong values. So what bothers her? Moshe, like, how could you do this to your wife? And I think of people who also have strong family values, we kind of get it. I know personally for me, it always bothers me. Like, I get Moshe's like, Moshe, but how could he do this with his... Like, I understand what Miriam is feeling for her sister-in-law. And yet, she's too rigidly holding to her family values. Because at the same time, you have to be flexible. Moshe is the Moshe who took us out of Egypt. He has tremendous responsibilities, and sometimes even a leader needs to make a sacrifice. And that means the family's going to have a sacrifice also. So even any part of this triangle, you don't want to rigidly focus on one, right? You don't want to be too focused in the moment, because then you lose sight of the long-term picture. You're like, oh yeah, all about the moment now. It's like, oh my gosh, I forgot, I have to like prepare the Seder for later. Like, you know, we don't want to do that either. And we have to also not only focus on our values, because then we lose sight of the things that, like, the larger picture, we can lose our perspective. And I think sometimes we have that. We have, like, we're self-righteous in our values, and then we're, like, a jerk to the people around us. A jerk said, you know what I mean? But it's like, hello, if you're going to, you know, we're losing sight of, like, if you're, you know, going away and you have strong values, that's awesome. I'm all for it. Advocacy and strength and living according to value. But when you're like, you better live according to my values also, what is going on here? We're missing the picture. Something's, like, off. So we, even in our values, we want to be able to be in our values but flexible. This ability to be flexible is a tremendous piece of us. Okay, so now let's get to tachlis. So tachlis is, let's go back to our initial question. What does all this have to do with Pesach, with our preparation for Pesach? Anyone have any questions until now? Okay, maybe I'm going too much. Okay. Where are we getting stuck in living according to these values that we really have? And how can we develop the consistent ability to bring our values into our day-to-day life? And I think that learning the skill of flexibility can help us stay away from the stuff and getting into moments that ultimately, in the long run, we don't really care about. Like, oh, you better do it this way, right? What does that mean? Right? We all have stories that we tell ourselves about our Pesach experience, our expectations, the family stuff. If this kid's too tired, what are we going to do? The disappointment, if this doesn't work out, I work so hard, this is how I wanted it. Right? Or someone's not feeling well, or all the efforts I put in, or how perfectionistic I have to be, and what does it need to look like? And what if it's not like this, or the way it's supposed to be? Right? And everyone could know. And how far? Right? And then we could say, like, oh my gosh, but what if, you know, I'm having all these people over, and what are they going to think? Or what if I'm, you know, I have a very wonderful mother-in-law, but sometimes people will say, well, I'm going to be with my family, and what if my mother-in-law is critical, and, you know, what? Right, or whatever it is, or what if you are the critical mother-in-law? Not my mother-in-law, but there might be those who are, right? And is this who you want to be when everyone's around each other? Because the beauty of Pesach is that it's so many, there's so much that we could appreciate and look at, right? We don't want to get stuck in the story. We want ourselves to have the space to not get stuck. So now, if you have pens, which I hope you do, or do a little bit of a worksheet, my friends joke with me, my colleagues, I love worksheets, because I feel like when you hear a share, you can't process the information. If you really want someone to take it home, you gotta make them write it down and work. So if we asked, right, if we would take away the unpleasant, the hard aspects of Pesach, what would you want it to offer you? So if you look at the worksheet, what are the values you want for your Pesach? And it could be the larger values of feeling a sense of redemption, of feeling like a closeness, Mika Amcha Yisrael, the greatness of the Jewish people, or it could be personal goals. I want to feel connected to my family. I want to feel close to God. I want to enjoy the process of working hard. I want to enjoy the mitzvah of preparation. I want to be in that moment. So if you had to write down either one value, what is one value that you have for your experience of Pesach? I know, usually I should have like a sheet that gives you options. That would be better. Really just take a moment. Anything, it doesn't have to be your best value, just any value. Any questions just about that? What is your value? What do you want Pesach to look like? Okay, so then the next question is really related to this. I'm gonna kind of hopefully go through like the three aspects of the model and have a question related to each of them. First, obviously, is our values. Clarity of values really helps us. And again, davening and Shabbos, there's so many opportunities in Judaism to take time to just reflect on what our values are. Right? I love the bracha, she'asa li kol tzorkei. When I get to reflect that Hashem has given me everything I need, that's like I always love to reflect on Sameach L'chalka, what it means. I could still want more and also believe this is what Hashem wants. Like, so much we could reflect and look at that. So I was reading, as I was preparing for this year, I was reading about, I was reading Erica Brown's Haggadah. It's very deep. She has wonderful questions. And she asks, it's about the Bir Chametz. And I love this, the image. Because Chametz is about like getting rid of something. So she says, is there a part of the story, and I'm going to put it into the context of ACT and what we're talking about, is there a part of the story that we tell ourselves that's not helping me live the way I want, according to my values, something I want to let go of? For example, right, I was thinking, for me, I think this is always going to be my greatest struggle in life, is to appreciate the process and not focus on the outcome. Right? I don't have the most patience. I could always work on that. And I was joking that for our shul, we have like a shul directory that we're developing, and we had like free pictures. And you know what happens? Like, of course, I only realize like the day before that the pictures are tomorrow. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, my kids have to look put together. And then at the last minute, I'm like, do I even have clothing that's clean that they could be coordinated? And then I was like, fine, I brought stockings. I have five daughters, right? So that's like a lot of stockings. I'm going to invest in stock, in tights and stockings. It's good. I think it's going to take sore in the future. Anyhow, so I buy stockings that day. I have bows. Like, everyone should look, you know. And then, of course, we get to, like, the half hour before, and everyone's getting ready, and then we lose one bow, and one stockings are missing. And I'm like, how did this happen? I prepared so much. And, like, the moments leading up to, like, I saw myself, like, and I just want you to know, like, I am not good at clothing. I don't really care about it, but, like, I felt like, so I have to, like, everyone's laughing because, like, they know it's true. Anyone who knows me here, like, knows that it's true. Like, I don't even care. I don't even know. So, like, this is my effort, you know? And I'm like, I'm trying so hard. And I'm working. And it's like, it's a silly example. But, like, I don't even care about this stuff. And I'm getting caught up in the moment. And I'm like, this kid, I'm like, look for the, you know, please look for the bow. How did we lose it already? I was like, what? And then you have, my husband was joking. He's like, so now you have this pretty picture. But, like, what were you like until that point? Right, you have the nice picture of everyone looking good, but like, who are we leading up to that moment? And I really want to let go of that. Like, those moments of like pressure where I would like to say, like, it's not just the outcome that matters, like the pretty picture, it's like the moment leading up to it that also matters, and can I be more patient and calmer if things are not going the way I need to, in the time-limited, whatever. I think time-limited things always make it harder. Okay. The next part is mindfulness. So again, I don't know if anyone has that. That's my story. So mindfulness. So we actually see in source number 13 and 14 that mindfulness is an incredible value, especially at the Seder. And the Gemara in source 14 says, the Mishnah says, you can't eat, Erev Pesach, Samach, Mincha, like you can't eat until, from Erev Pesach, Mincha time until the Seder. But then the next statement is, like, even a poor person can't eat until they lean, which is really like till the Seder. So Tosfos asks the question, what's the Chiddush? What's the second statement saying? Of course, an Ani, a poor person, is also a person. So they also can't eat. So what does it mean they can't eat till they lean? It says that you would have thought that a poor person wouldn't be able to fulfill the obligation of leaning the night of the Seder. Because it's not true to what their life is like. Even before and right after, they're going to go back to not being a free person, right? To being really oppressed. So the fact that even a poor person has to be focused and actually do the mitzvah of leaning is teaching us that we have to be in the moment. And in that moment, the night of the Seder, we could be totally immersed and mindful and present in the moment and not thinking about the fears that I have about my future, what my life is not like. Let's just make this moment and get into the mindset of what the Seder night's supposed to be about. And I really think that there's so many opportunities in Pesach preparation to be mindful. Pesach preparation is about so much teamwork. No one person could really totally prepare on their own. So we almost are obligated to be asking someone else for help, whether it's a friend, a spouse, a child. And in those moments, can we appreciate, wow, okay, so then my spouse came home, my child came home, they brought the wrong thing, but look at the fact that they went out for me, and we're preparing for the holiday together, right? Or yes, we're cleaning this disgusting oven, and I can't believe, and you have all these thoughts, like, I'm the woman that I have her come, and she didn't clean, and what is this? It's like 7 years old, and it's like grind for, right? Like you have these thoughts, and you get caught up in the moment, and you're like, hold on a minute, right? Wow, this is a beautiful moment. Where I'm working with the people I care about, even if they stress me out, and we're doing something that's beautiful. And we're living according to the values that we have. And I think the Pesach Seder night, sometimes it's chaotic and crazy around us, and this one's screaming at that one, and this one didn't really nap, and I don't know, right? Not everyone has young people. Everyone has a different constellation of a Seder. But very often, you could sit around and you take a step back and notice the interactions, the dynamics, and sometimes you're even sitting at a table with multiple generations. That's beautiful. That's amazing. Take in that moment. Even if other moments are going to be a little bit crazy, Two more minutes of moments that are like this increase the joy in our life, enhance our experience. I'm not saying that every moment's going to be like so, like, wow, my values, and I'm not going to get stressed. But what if we can make more moments consistent with a more mindful perspective, living according to our values? And the last question, and so I ask each of you, right, what's an experience you want to be present during and in preparation for Pesach or during the Seder? Is there something that you could say, I am going to try and be mindful of this in the next month? And lastly, where we saw with Moshe, how Moshe actually lived according to his values, committed action. We say from here, we always say, part of act is, are you willing to do some action according to your values? What is it? And we say, and then someone says, yeah, well, I guess I'm willing to try this. And we say, well, from 1 to 10, like, how willing are you? 4. Nah, that's not committed enough. We want to leave at a place where, like, it's going to be a 7 or up. Like, I'm very likely going to try this new action. Because that is what brings us into the next phase, to really live our lives according to our values. And that's what we see from Miriam and Moshe. That they were able to get to that point by actually doing it. By actually, even if I'm not feeling that I'm in the mood to live life according to my values, but I commit to doing it, I am more likely to do it. And with Moshe, we see point in case. He was so reluctant, and the more he did it, he became that person until he got to Mecheni Nami Sifracha. And my hope for everyone here is that we should be Zocha to have clarity of our values. Right, to not get stuck in the stories that we tell ourselves sometimes about what things are going to be like, and ask ourselves, not how things have been, but what do I want things to be like? And then to take as many moments as we can to be in the moment, balancing and being flexible with awareness of our long-term values and being present in the moment as we are. I wish everyone should be a wonderful Pesach, and thank you again for this opportunity, and Hatzlacha with all the preparations.